This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Mina, and we're from Te Ngata Tumutu Trust.
And you're listening to
Pallyhood!
Pacific greetings and a massive hello to each and every one of you. Whatever corner of this globe you're tuning in from, I'd like to say welcome to the weekend. You're here with Sam and Steph on the Pollyhood Show.
96.9 Plains FM. I always feel like I had that one in. How are you?
I am doing quite well. We had a scorcher of a Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesday, man, they were scorchers, man. I was like, what is happening? I closed all the curtains to my house, keep all the sun out. I don't know about you, but I hate the sun, eh?
Me too.
Like, you know, hard to believe islanders that don't like the sun, but yeah. Yes, I do not like the sun. What have you been up to, Joe?
Yeah, busy with work. It's been a lot of fun. We had the Pacific Business Collective meeting yesterday, which was cool. It was lovely to hear from Viti Creations. If you want to know more about them, do check out their Facebook page, as well as check out the PBC Facebook page as well for more information on the next Pineapple Pie and Network. It's been a good week. Sorry, yes. Stuttering. Yeah. And speaking of good week, this week is the anniversary, 10-year anniversary of the Christchurch earthquake.
10 years on.
Yeah, 10 years on. Which brings us to Upu of the week. Upu of the week is Mafu'e, which means, Sam?
Mafu'e means earthquake.
Yes, earthquake. As we were saying before, 10 years on since the date. It was 22nd of February 2011. It was the Christchurch earthquake. It does feel like it's been quite some time, eh?
Yeah, and the fact that like there's still empty lots in town or like empty areas, it's like a constant reminder of the earthquake 10 years ago.
Yeah, and the damage. If you haven't picked up on it already, that is going to be our topic of the show this afternoon on the drive home. That's what we're going to be talking about. So Sam and I are going to be speaking just about the earthquake, what we remember, what we were doing that day, how it's affected us. So yeah, join us for that chat after this.
To all our matua out there who want to dance and get fit to Pacifica music, join our Siva Samo dance classes each Thursday at 11 a.m.
Call the friendly staff at Tangata Atumotu Trust on 0800 727 434 for further details or to arrange for a pickup.
Cool. All right. On the 22nd of February 2011 at 12:51 p.m, Christchurch was struck by a magnitude 6.3 earthquake. This quake was centred 10 kilometres southeast of the city at the depth of 5 kilometres. In the 10 minutes after it hit, there were 10 aftershocks of magnitude 4 or more. Water pipes, roads, bridges, power lines, cell phone towers and ordinary phone lines were broken or damaged. 185 people died and many thousands were injured as a result of the earthquake. 164 were seriously injured.
Most of the victims were killed in two large building collapses. 115 people died when the six-story Canterbury Television CCV building in Madras Street collapsed, and 18 people died when the four-story Pine Gold Corporation PGC building in Cambridge Terrace collapsed. Rescue crews worked around the clock at both locations to dig out trapped people, 169 of which people died in the central city, and 16 people died in other parts of Christchurch. Rescue crews from all over the world came to help. There were crews from Japan, the United States, the United Kingdom, Taiwan, Australia, and other countries.
A walk back down memory lane in terms of that. On that day, what were you doing?
I was actually, it's funny because you can, you know exactly where you were when it happened, right?
Yeah.
But if you were here in Christchurch on that day, you'll never forget where you were. So I was I was in flat number 2 at Arlem Student Apartments. Yeah. I was in my mate's room. It was the morning, and we're just about, we literally turned on his PlayStation because we're going to play some COD.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was the initial shake.
Is that a fishing game? Or?
No, Call of Duty.
Oh, okay.
FPS game. But the earthquake hit, and then we're like, hey, and then the power went off. And then we walked out into the hallway, and then all our other mates had walked out of the hallway too. We're like, hey. And then, yeah, that's where I was when it hit. And we didn't realize how serious it was until we had heard of the fatalities in town. Because, as you know, there was an earthquake earlier the year before in September where it was just an earthquake.
I was in Samoa for that one.
Okay, yeah. I remember that. I was at home, and I remember my parents' drop lights just, like, you know, hitting the ceiling and that when that hit. And no one died in that earthquake or anything. So when my initial reaction to the February earthquake when it happened was that, oh, it's just, you know, what happened in September, nothing bad. And then it wasn't until we started listening to the radio, we seeing how packed the streets were getting with cars, that we actually realised how bad it actually was.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Yeah, I was at uni as well. So you were at home about to turn on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
I was on to my first class of the semester. A group of us were going, and I had realised that I had not got my books, or I had brought the wrong set of books for that day.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the right materials for class, and I just remember being like, damn, like, I don't have my stuff. Like, I'm not going to be able to focus or do the classwork that's needed, or I don't have my prep stuff.
Right.
But just about to go towards C block, and the earthquake hit, and it literally felt like looking at the concrete, it was flat. But when I was looking at the concrete, it was wavy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. And I just remember everyone just stopping, that massive shock first.
Yeah.
And then straight away, like, teachers came out of the classroom saying, like, oh, no class, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, first off, I was like, yes, because I brought the wrong gear. And we got told to go to the Green at Canterbury University.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was my first... It was a shock to feel that because, I was in Samoa for the first one.
Yeah.
And then just jumping in the car to try go home, and it was just packed.
Man.
And so I didn't get home. I didn't go home. I ended up staying at a friend's house.
Yeah.
Overnight. And then went home. I had to walk home the next day from Rickerton to Aranui.
Oh, man.
I walked all the way home. Yeah. From there. And
was just the roads blocked, or you just...
Yeah, roads were blocked, and I just walked.
Yeah.
Walked back. I saw the damage too. Like, yeah. Just walking on the roads, I saw a car sunk into the ground. I saw heaps of chimneys pushed over.
Yeah.
And I saw people just walking, already walking around with, like, food, giving it away.
Mm.
That was a nice part of it. But, I'll tell you a funny memory though. I got home. I used to board with my brother and my cousin. My oldest brother owned the house, and he's passed on now.
Yeah.
But he was a very strict guy. we would, like, honestly, it was eggshells around that guy. Like, we'd make sure that everything was spotless because he was a very tidy, neat person.
Yeah.
Make sure all the dishes were done, everything like that. And he just wasn't the kind of guy to joke around.
Yeah.
But my cousin said, like, as soon as he got home, we hugged and I went to see my brother, hello, and he's like, are you all right? And stuff like that. Okay, cool. But my cousin straight away comes outside to me and he's like, oh man, the funniest thing happened. And I've been holding in this laughter this whole time. And he said, my brother, he said that when the earthquake happened, they were watching the TV. And the TV started shaking to the point where it was falling over. And he said that my brother jumps up and grabs the TV. But he was wearing an Ear Lover Lover at the time. And because it was shaking so bad, the Ear Lover Lover fell down. And then he was trying to like pick up his Ear Lover Lover with one hand while trying to hold the TV. My cousin, because we have so much respect for him, right? Yeah. We don't want to laugh. So he was like, I had to like hold in that laughter so bad. And he had to wait all night for me to come home so he could tell someone.
Oh, man. I don't know how he was able to hold that in, bro. Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, my God. Imagining it. Was it at your house?
Yeah.
Because I think I know where the TV is. Yeah. So I was like, I actually have a visual picture of. Yeah, he's just.
Oh man. And another story I remember from when the earthquake happened was like my sister and that, I think they kind of like evacuated. So they cooked, she had in the oven, she had cooked this roast in there. Earthquake happens, turns off the ovens, and they just jet it to the hills.
Yeah.
And they stayed over at someone's house. So my brother and my cousin, after that earthquake hit, walked to her house to check on her, noticed that she wasn't home, and they like opened the oven for whatever reason, and they see this roast in there.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we'll just use this and take it home.
Yeah.
So my sister, when she met up with her finally, was like, yeah, we came home, and like someone had come in the house and taken our roast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So who would come in and steal the roast and not steal anything else?
Not steal anything, but they just came and took the roast that we had cooked.
You would assume, like, a family member would have done that, you know. If it was a stranger, they would have come and stolen something else, but...
Yeah.
Of course, your Islander fans would be like, oh, yo, they won't need this. Oh, yo, this roast? Mine.
How has your life changed since the earthquake?
I don't know, because I just feel like life's just carrying on. Like, you've had to, obviously, you know, we were studying at the time, so it wasn't as if, like, you know, we lost our jobs, whatnot. So I don't think it's changed a whole lot, but it has, I feel more equipped now to deal with an earthquake if it was to happen again in the future. I had a high school friend lose his life running out of one of the buildings in town.
Oh, wow.
So he was working in town, and when the earthquake hit, he just, like, bolted out, and just one of the external walls just, like, crumbled and collapsed, like, in front of the building, and it just hit him on the way out.
Yeah.
So, like, even those stories, and then I consciously make an effort to look at where I am a lot of the times, and I was like, if an earthquake was to hit now, where would I be able to go, and, like, what's a safe spot, and should I stay in here? So I always play out these scenarios in my head now. Like, if it was to hit now, you know, we're in, like, a two-story building, Pete? Yeah, like, pretty safe in here. And if I needed to run out, I would stop short of the door and, like, sort of look up just in case there was, you know, like, you know, bricks or anything falling out. So I feel like that's been the major change. Because in September, when it happened in September, it was, like, 7.4 or something.
It was bigger, eh?
It was bigger. But I think what happened is that in September, it just weakened a lot of the building's infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
It just weakened a lot of the buildings. And then when the smaller earthquake, the one that was over six, hit in February, all those buildings that, I don't know if they'd been strengthened or anything, or, but a lot of those buildings ended up collapsing. So, yeah, we had a bigger one in September and then February a weaker one, but the weaker one was the one that did all the damage. So I'm guessing in September a lot of the buildings ended up being getting weakened or, shaken up or whatever.
Mm.
But it was very intense, the one in September, because I was sleeping in the sitting room and my parents, this big, like, wooden case thingy that my mum, like, likes to put her, like, china and stuff in.
Like, all Pacific.
Yeah. It was
That's a staple in a Pacific house.
Yeah, it was about to, like, fall over. And then, you know, I seen the drop lights, like, hitting the roof, like, and these drop lights are quite long. So, like, you know, the lights were, like, you know, bouncing up and down, hitting the ceiling. And to my surprise, because I thought, like, you know, everyone would have woken up and gone to the street. So I walk out onto a neighborhood street and no one had walked out as well. And I was like, hey, like,
yeah,
that was a pretty intense earthquake. And it happened, like, it was like a real small shudder. And then it was like, bang. Mm. It wasn't like a gradual, like, increase of thing. It was just like a, you know, a small air shake. And then boom. And you're like, oh, what's that?
Mm. You're absolutely right about being cautious, and it's just become part of our identity of Christchurch.
Yeah.
Because you know how we do safety briefings?
Mm.
We have to mention earthquakes.
Yeah.
Like we do. That's.
And we always thought Wellington was going to be the place. You know? Growing up, I was, for some reason, Wellington to me was the place where if there was going to be an earthquake in New Zealand, it would be Wellington.
Mm.
But there's a fault line that runs through New Zealand, so.
Mm, yeah. But, man, did Christchurch, we picked up pretty strong, eh?
Yeah.
After that. I remember the Crusaders didn't have a home ground and they were travelling up and down New Zealand. They did all these miles.
Yeah.
Only to finish second, just short, but, that was a feat in itself, not having a home stadium. But, yeah, 10 years on, we were only 20 years old, mate.
Wow. we'll see you guys in 10 years.
Yes. Thank you for joining us on this trip down memory lane. For those of you that lost people, our thoughts are with you. And also, just at this time, just remembering, just the tragedy that was the Christchurch earthquake, but also look at the innovation that it's caused and resilience and stuff that it built in.
Yeah.
Into us too. So, yeah, thanks for joining us for that chat. We'll join us back after this.
Is someone in your family suffering from diabetes, heart disease, or respiratory illness?
Contact our nurses at Tangata Atumotu Trust and we will arrange for in-home support.
Call us on 0800 plus speaker, that's 0800 727 434, or contact us through our website tat.org.nz. That's tat.org.nz.
10 years on, still here. What's one thing you want? You'd like to see change? For me, it's like I'd like to see those empty lots being filled.
Yeah, like just change them into car parking.
Yeah, give it to Wilson. You know he wants it.
Actually, don't give it to Wilson.
You know Wilson wants those car parkings. He's everywhere already anyway.
Yeah, charging overpriced car parks, so not him.
Whoever this Wilson guy is, oh my goodness.
Exactly. I don't know, this the container mall.
That was nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, but that is now Riverside. That's good.
That's even better. Yes, true. Riverside's way better than the container mall, actually. But yeah, just parking in town just needs to change.
Yeah, that's why people.
That's
like,
what I would like changed.
That's why people like to go to malls to shop.
Yeah.
Because why would you want to go, you know, the hassle of going to town, but then on top of the hassle of going to town, you already have to pay for parking?
Mm-hmm.
I had a mate who worked at Sony when they were based in town before the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to the mall. And he said,
Rickerton Mall.
And then he said, their first day at Rickerton Mall, they made more sales than they did the whole of their last week in town.
Wow.
And he was like, people don't come into town.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think parking's a huge thing.
Yeah.
huge reasons for that.
Exactly. That's why I don't go to town. There's no parking.
Yeah, same.
I would go to Tauranga Library so much more if there was more parking.
Yes, I would.
Because Tauranga is so nice, eh?
It is. Tauranga is such a nice... And there's, you know, there's so many empty... Across the road from it, the old Gloucester Mall.
Yeah.
Like, that's an empty lot.
Mm.
Why can't I just, like, seal it just for now? Or, you know, just to get people coming through? Because, you know, you think about, I want to go to the library, but then you're like, oh, where do I park?
Yeah. You where know? Do I park? I'm not going to spend an hour there.
Yeah.
You need to spend a good amount of time.
That's why, like, you know, you go to the Ricken Library or, you know, there's a library with free parking.
Yeah. Exactly. Free parking, food court, shops.
Maybe we need to talk to Wilson on one of our shows.
Wilson's car parking.
Yeah. Just bring Wilson in. See who this guy is. Put a face to the name.
If you missed this podcast or any of our other podcasts, you're welcome to download it from the Sam Seffer radio page or from the Plains FM website. Sam and I would just like to thank Tangata Atamotu Trust for the continued support of the show. We'd like to also wish you a safe, enjoyable, awesome weekend. From Sam and I,
Pollyhood.
Check it out, 1, 2. Hey yo, hey yo. I came a long way since back in the day. From a teenager trying to make it rap in this way. Ever since I was a kid, I had something to say. Rocking mics was a dream, I didn't care about pay. I sacrificed late nights and going out with my friends just to stay home alone with my pad and my pen. Had my eyes on my prize, my mind on my goal. As I carved these rhymes out with my heart and my soul. I didn't have a CD, all I had was a tape. On the dole through my flow was my only escape. From a world where they didn't want to see me prevail. Don't want to see me take it all, they'd rather see me fail. It's like... I was down and out, struggling. Wondered how I'm gonna make it through. I got a dream. Holding on. I can't let go, cause I gotta make it come true. Hey yo, I got a dream to make it big in New York. Give up the drugs and alcohol. I didn't want to distort my vision to be living life to the full. And I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for you. You picked me up every time that I fell. When I was going through hell, you told me that I would prevail. You said I had exactly what it took to be great. That I was young and in the future what a man I would make. It's like you saw something in me I couldn't see. You said I would succeed and be anything I wanted to be. I'm 23 and I just want to be me. Want to be free, want to be everything I can be. But I don't have many choices, can't afford to be wrong. All I do is try to stay true to the words of my song. Just don't hesitate and wait too long. Cause like a dream when you wake up, it's gone. It's gone. I was down and out, struggling. Wondered how I'm gonna make it through. Had no money in my pocket. I got a dream. All I had was a pad and pen. So I ever needed. Let go, cause I gotta make it come. Hey yo, through. It was a sunny day and we were feeling high. Jamming the song underneath a baby blue sky. Thinking back in the time when we were so poor. Remember the kids used to laugh at the clothes we wore. We always knew one day that things were gonna change. And from that day, I was never gonna be the same. I went to sleep that night, I dreamt to touch the sky. And ever since, I've been trying to keep my dream alive. So when you see the scribe dropping the ill of rhyme, defining how I'm living mine in this day and time. I'm working 9 to 5, I'm slaving over beat. It's hard work living the dream, I hardly ever sleep. I'm in the rhythm deep, y'all just trying to do my thing. It's funny when you're shining, people hate to see the gleam. No matter what they say, keep on doing what you do. And don't give up, cause only you can make that dream come true. It's like, I was down and out, I was way out, struggling. Wondered how I'm gonna make it through. I got a dream. Cause I gotta make it come true. I was down and out. Wondered how I got a dream. I won't let go, cause I got.
Hollyhood, proudly sponsored by Tangata Atumotu Trust. To find out more about us, call 03 377 2016 or find us online at tat.org.nz.